So we're on the one another's. Okay, we're all doing the one another's. Everybody knows the one another's. And so, hold on, I'm just getting my thing here. So my wife did a message over in Tauranga. She was coming this morning, but I had a swap with her. So I said, no, I want to come. And so I got to come here instead. But she did one on marriage. And I made sure I listened to it because I thought there could be some tips for what I need to be doing, just in case I hadn't quite got it right. And it was a great message, actually. I did learn, though, that she's that I'm probably supposed to talk more in the morning. She said, you know, she wakes up wanting to talk and she talks with me and I don't answer. And I'm thinking, well, that's because you're a morning person and I'm not. How many people are morning people? Yeah, well, you can talk as much as, like, how many people are not morning people? And exactly. Look, and there's more of us than the others, I think. So that was good. Victor did a great message on community. And I know Nicole did don't fight other people's battles. Don't jump into it. Live in harmony. And last week, Will did Jesus is the door to healthy relationships. And I thought that was a challenging message and around humility. Tonight I'm speaking, I've got to do another one or another, and I'm doing on encourage one another. And I'm going to talk a bit about encouraging and at the same talking about discouragement, because I think there's a lot of discouragement around. But this morning I'm speaking on love one another. Love one another. So let's read John 13, verse 34. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Is your love for the people around you proving that you're a disciple of God? Is it proving it? Love is a big theme in the scriptures. You know, Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? What did he say? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And a second is like it. You should love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law of the prophets. A lot of people don't realize at times, but basically every law that was out there was all based on love. At times people twisted the laws and took them away from their purpose, but the purpose of the law was love. The purpose of the Ten Commandments were love. Because they didn't have any rules at that stage, and people would do whatever they wanted. You know, if they didn't like someone, they'd murder them. So you know, to not murder was a way of loving and stopping people from, you know, getting annoyed with their mate and killing them. It was a love thing in it. 1 John 4:8 says, tells us that God is love. Corinthians 13, a lot of us will know that. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And I was doing a wedding about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was doing it with the Catholic priest, Father Richard, who looks after the Mount site. And I actually this week I had coffee with Father Richard. I enjoyed talking with him, but he was talking. We got to do this shared wedding. And so he got to do the message, and I thought, oh, this is exciting. I've never heard a Catholic priest do the message. So I was sitting there listening to him, and he talked about this 1 Corinthians 13 because it'd been read out, and he said, you know, the love in 1 Corinthians 13 is agape. So in the Greek language, they have 5 words for love. We just have one, but love. And this one is agape. And he says that's divine love. Divine love. And basically, the only way you can love in 1 Corinthians 13 is with God within. You need God in your life to be able to love at that level. And I thought, whoa, that's a great bit of a revelation. I'm going to steal that. And I told him this week, last week I mentioned you in my sermon. I don't know if you'll mention me. The other thing that was fascinating is I took him around the church over in Tauranga. And one of the things that happened was I took him into the prayer room, our prayer room. And this sort of, I was happy about, but I was also a little bit annoyed about. He said, Oh, I can feel the presence of God in here. I thought, wow, that's awesome. Catholic priest can feel the presence of God. What annoyed me was, why didn't he feel it everywhere else in the church? And why didn't he feel it, you know, because I'm into, people need to feel the presence of God. We need more of the presence of God. And really, my ideal is that I'm going to sit down with somebody one day and they go, I can feel, what's happening? I want people to feel the presence of God flowing out of me, that they can feel the love, feel his presence. But I was very pleased that the Catholic priest said he could feel God. And he said, oh, this is the first Protestant church I've ever felt the presence of God in. So I thought, oh, that's good. Anyhow, where was I? You know, one of the great things through Jesus is that we are no longer having to live, in a sense, under the law. Instead, we live out of our love for Jesus. Our motivation and the way we live is out of our love for Jesus. And, you know, we need to do this better. I feel, unfortunately, at times, Christians' love for people is very shallow. And often our love is very selfish. And I think at times the church is not doing very well at loving people. I don't think a lot of the times people look at the church and go, oh, you can tell they're Jesus' disciples because they're love. And a lot of times they judge, well, they say we're more judgmental than we are loving. And I feel we've really got to work on this. Our churches should be so full of love that no one wants to leave. You know, I know we look at the church and we go, you know, we sometimes put all the responsibility on the pastor, but I just want to say that, you know, people should feel loved in a church so much by everyone. We should all feel the love from people. And no one should ever want to leave because they're not leaving the leadership, they're leaving the love of the people around them. And my challenge to you is, do you love the people around you? I've said it a number of times, you know, if you can't love, how can you love God who you can't see if you can't love the person you can see? And there is this circular thing of the more you love God, the more you love people. The more you love people, the more you love God. But we've got to be careful because if we stop loving people, I think we stop loving God. That they flow together. You know, when I worked I was working as an auditor after I left the university, and I worked in Deloitte's over in Hamilton, and there was a whole lot of us who were graduates, you know, and each of us were in our first year, second year, or third year out from university. And I was amazed at the atmosphere of how kind all these non-Christians were. In fact, I found it really hard to stand out as being someone different from them because they were so nice. You've heard me talk about my BNI that I go to, my business network that I go to. I'm blown away with the love that's in that room. You know, going into hospital, they all buy them a gift so that they have a gift once they get out of hospital, one for, you know, 30 gifts, one for each day after they get out of hospital to open. And these are great gifts that they give to these people. And I go, wow, how are we doing on our love? Is our love for each other and for the people around us greater than the love that's happening just in life, just in our workplaces or in these places that we go? You know, Christ commands us to love each other. Love each other. You know, the question is okay, so what is love? And in today, like I said, we use the word love for all sorts of things. We love chocolate, and we gave out chocolate a couple of weeks ago. We love chocolate, but that's not really the sort of love we're talking about. We love movies, we love rugby, we love summer, we love all sorts of things. So why would Jesus use a vague command like love one another? And the difference is that his clarification of love one another was this: love one another like I've loved you. And that changes the whole picture of what this love's like, doesn't it? How has Christ loved you and me? I don't know about you. I'm overwhelmed with how much he loves us, how much he loves everything about us, how much he's done for us. He loved us so much that it turned into action. Our love for each other should turn into action. We should love each other so much that it's reflected in our actions for one another. Jesus' disciples were known as Jesus' disciples because Jesus was there and they were following him. So when they looked at that person, they said, I know you're a disciple of Jesus because Jesus was there and we're following him. Jesus is saying now, hey, I'm disappearing. I'm not going to be here anymore. People aren't going to be able to go, oh, I can tell you're a disciple because you're with Jesus. Jesus is not in the picture anymore. And so Jesus said, they're going to know that you're one of my disciples by how much you love one another. How are we doing on that? How much do people look and see how much we love each other and go, yep, they must be a follower of Jesus? Does it come out of everything we do? The more I've spoken, and this is the third time I've done this message, Ash has heard it the first time, I'm just overwhelmed about how much more we need to love people and we need God in us to help us love people. Because we get so sidetracked on such silly things. And I think the whole last 2 years with COVID's been a show of how easily we can get on track, off track and onto things that in the end, do they really matter? What matters is that I'm for you and that I love you. You know, there's a lot of great biblical truths that are quite simple. Because in a sense, love one another like I've loved you is a very simple one. But we need to actually put it into practice. We have to do it. It's no good going, yes, I know what it is. I know love one another. You know, I know lots of verses, actually. I know, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. I know, don't judge or you'll be judged. But the challenge is, can I outwork it? Last week, Will talked about humility. If I said to you, hey, I'm not working on humility this year because I've got it sussed. I am a very humble person. I've smashed that one out. I don't need to work on that anymore. I'm as humble as you can get. I've got that covered. Well, you'd all sit there and you already are going, you can't do that, Alan. You all know that humility is something you're going to constantly be working on, constantly going, I need to come back to this. Well, that's the same with love. Loving one another, we've got to be reminded of it. Yeah, it sounds simple and it sounds easy, but it's got to be something that we live out of every day. You know, John quotes love one another you twice. Love one another as Christ has loved you. And at the start of it, it's at the Lord's Supper. I don't know if you know, if you read the book of John, he goes from, I think it's John 13 right through to John 16, and he's talking all about the Last Supper. The Last Supper had a huge effect on John. He then, when he writes 1 John, what's his topic in 1 John? Love one another. And he was so impacted by this. He, you know, now, so here's, if you remember the story, John's sitting down at the Passover talking to Jesus. And he says to Jesus, who's going to betray you? And I think only John knew. I don't think the other disciples knew that it was Judas. But, you know, Jesus says, the one I dip my bread in, this is the one and give this piece of bread to, he's the one. And he watched him give it to Judas. And then he watched Judas leave. And then John's sitting there and Jesus says, I want you to love each other like I've loved you. What's in John's mind? You've spent 3 years walking around this place loving Judas, yet you knew he was going to betray you. John's impacted by this. Like he's just going, what do you mean? And he's looking at this going, I've got a love like you do. He's going, I can't do that. He's overwhelmed by it. And then he says, if you love me, you'll lay down your life. Greater love has no man than he lay down his life for his friend. And suddenly John's going, man, we just need the love. We've got to love the Father and love the Son and love each other. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love allows grace. I don't know if you've got to listen to the message that Ruth did. She did it out at North, and then she did it in Tauranga on on the prodigal son. And she challenged us to say, you know, that the older brother really didn't love the father. In fact, he was just as much around on wanting his inheritance than he was about loving the father. You know, if he really loved the father, the older son would have been standing by the father waiting for the brother to come home. In fact, if the older brother really loved his father and loved his brother, he would have gone out and found him. He would have gone looking for him. And our challenge is that we've received the love of Jesus. Now are we giving it away? Because there are some very challenging verses in the Bible. Let me take you to a couple, and I'm running out of time, so I'm going to just get you to jump to 1 John 4, verse 7. Jump to 1 John 4. It's a bit further down, Carl. Let me read this. 1 John 4, verse 7 says this. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Now listen to this. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. I don't know if you get the weight of that, but the way people are going to see God's love is because of our love. And I just go, oh man, that's a challenge. That's, you know, it's like a high jump that looks too high for me to jump. But that's the love that he wants to see. And that's what he's saying can do. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. You imagine a church where everyone just loved each other at that level. Because people would come. Forget all the music, forget all the preaching, forget everything else. Just us loving each other is all we need. 1 John 3:16. So this is 1 John. So this is John has been impacted by the Passover, and this is what he writes about. You go read 1 John, it's all about love. We know that real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and our sisters. When's the last time you gave up something for someone else? It's an expression of love. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth. So we will be confident to stand before God. 1 John 2, my last one. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new commandment. Rather, it's an old one you have had from the very beginning. The old commandment to love one another is the same message you heard before, yet it is also new. Jesus lived the truth of this commandment, and you are also living it. For the darkness is disappearing, and true light is already shining. You know, a lot of people talk about, you know, it's a dark world, it's a dark world. Well, the way we overcome the dark world is by loving people. Loving people just puts light into the world. And you and I are the carriers of that love and that light for people. Let your light shine. Oh, okay, that makes sense. Now I can see. Let my light shine. So that's done by loving people. Loving people, and I know about you, I just get challenged. I've got to keep loving people. Forget the little things that bother me, the things that sometimes, you know, the issues that come. I want to just love people. If you read John 13, that that talks about the supper, you'll go in the progress and you'll get to John 15, where Jesus talks about remain in me. Remain in me and you'll bear fruit. If you're familiar with John 15, about remaining in God. The fruit is, the result of that remaining in him should be that we love people. That's the fruit. The fruit in our lives that should be seen is the love, the fruits of the Spirit, which are all love. If anyone claims I'm living in the light but hates his fellow brother, that person is still living in darkness. Anyone who loves his fellow believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. But anyone who hates a fellow believer is still walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. We need our help. We need God's help to love each other. God, help us to love with forgiveness, self-sacrifice, without selfishness, without judgment. Help us to love. Help us to love. Help us to see past the issues of people and to love them. Why don't you close your eyes? Father, I thank you that you've loved us. You loved us so much you sent your son to die for us. Jesus, we thank you that you've loved us so much that you gave your life. And we are so grateful and so thankful for that. Lord, help us now to live a life of love. Not just to the people we like, not just to the people that are easy to love, not just to our family, but to every person in our life. Lord, help us to love like you did. Holding no grudges, holding no offense. Lord, that we would love people. Holy Spirit, right now I pray that you'll fill each person here with a fresh sense of your love. And maybe there's somebody in your life that as soon as I talked about loving and forgiving, you just went, oh, but except for that person, God. Why don't you just ask God, God, help me to love that person. Maybe there's somebody you know immediately have thought of that you go, man, I'm struggling with that person. Why don't you just ask that, God, can you fill me with your love? So that I can love that person. Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray that we would be known as your disciples because of our love for each other. Lord, I pray C3 City Church, Coast, people would say that's a great church because they love you, they love each other, they love people, they love people. Lord, I pray the church would be known as a place that loves people. Help us to love more. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.